Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen count is called Red Magnetic Earth, and it is the first day of the Red Earth Wave Spell, and it is the lunar moon, day 11. And it is lunar. I've come out of my funk because there's activity happening. There's storm activity happening in this blue storm year. I, like many of you, us, you know, tend to do the same thing over and over again. Limited movement. This is the coronavirus reality. And so it's hard to be surprised, you know. I wouldn't even recognize some of the people that could take me by surprise because we're all masked. So going out to do grocery shopping or what have you doesn't even create as much drama as it might have in the past, but I definitely have had some drama, and it's the chaos of the storm taking hold. It will be a blue storm year the whole year, just as we had a white wizard year for a whole year, and not forgetting that we had a white magnetic wizard year last year, which means we're still in the valence of white wizard, and we will be for 12 more years, which is awesome. I mean, it's difficult because it's mythic, and there is a lot of demand in the white wizard way. The shamanic way is super honest, and it is super activated. A shaman is never hanging out. There's always healing to be done. The experience of healing is reflected by the experience of needing healing. So a white wizard 13-year wave spell is going to be an honest reckoning about how broken we are. And it's on. Let's see. So we have a new wave spell sort of start there and unwind from the center point of this red earth time. I think it's very seamless that we move from yellow seed to red earth, because I portray that the yellow seed portals are dropping through the earth to kind of a resting spot deeper in the darkness where it is lush and it is moist and our growth can begin. So I think in the yellow seed wave spell, we had some pictures of our pretty immediate future destiny, and that we're going to now be using the red earth time to ground some of that visioning that just came naturally into our lives so that we can grow towards it. So the yellow seeds seeded us, the red earth receives that kind of focal intent of growth. It nurtures it, it nourishes it, it gives it nutrient. And then we have, you know, many more wave spells to go until we levitate in the yellow star. The final wave spell of the Dzogchen to me is sort of the idea that we become the star. You know, we're five-pointed people walking around on Earth, but by the end of each Dzogchen 260-day cycle, we have a personal realized ascension where we're like star beings, which can mean, you know, that we're more astral or spiritual than usual, or that we are just bringing the quality of the star, the beauty and the radiance and the fire to our human form. We're not nearly there yet, but I think the yellow seed time kind of inclines us in this direction. So we're watchful, and we can probably because also we are in the beginning of a new year, we can trust that the events of our lives in the last 4 or 5 weeks are going to be topical for the whole year that we're in. And Red Earth, it's another interesting wave spell, which I'll know a lot more about when it's deeper upon us. But here at the outset, I'll say that I was married to a red magnetic earth. I've only been married one time. I think that would be my choice to do the legal marriage bind one time. I had children with a red magnetic earth. And so I'm really aware of this day. I'm aware of this wave spell. So far, it feels good. So what I discovered in the aftermath of the marriage, which is when I picked up the study of natural time, is that a red earth person is really interested in being mobile and, as I said last podcast, sort of living in the idea of being in an orbit. So a red earth person is inclined to travel or ambulate in a different way. Not as much, well, let me back that down. Like, red earth people like to sit still or move solidly and smoothly through the world. So road trip in a gliding car, bike ride, smoothly sailing along the asphalt, even over the water might be okay, but I think red earth people and the time is usually there's an inclination to do something that isn't watery, that is very much part of the rock mass of our planet proper. And red earth people and the time isn't hectic. There's not a bunch of chaotic behavior. I say this as a storm person, that it's a very different, staid, sort of secured personality profile, and we enter that time in the wave spell. That doesn't mean there aren't seismic changes, because our Earth is quite alive. It isn't a dead rock mass. It's, of course, tectonic. I say the same things over and over. I'm sorry if you know this about me. The red Earth time is about tectonic activity. It's seismic. There are earthquakes. So there can be earthquakes actually in the red Earth time that we would want to notate, but mostly the red Earth time is this idea that things are smooth until there's like this crack, this crumbling, a jolt. But when we move as the Earth through the cosmos, through the galaxy, there's no jolt. We don't like run into turbulence out there. And so that is, to me, the heart of the red Earth time, is that it's slow evolving movement. And then there's also a sense of stillness. And yet, to be part of a red earth experience, whether it's a wave spell, a day, or a person in our lives, is to recognize that there is something molten, active, volcanic in there. So that's as much as I'll say before we're actually entered into the wave spell. Synchronicity is a really beautiful part of what you can enjoy about our red earth wave spell as it unfolds. It is a time when you can remark on synchronicity. I talk about synchronicity and magic all the time. Those words are associated in the calendar per Jose Arguelles with red earth and blue monkey. Enchantment is associated with white wizard. All of those words to me encapsulate natural time. So it isn't limited to one tribe descriptor, that if you follow these calendars, enjoy following them. It's not a sales pitch. If you enjoy following these calendars, it's probably because of the astounding synchronicity, which is the quality of being like, wait, is this really happening? I just dreamed this, or I just thought this, or, it has all these different variations, and you can describe it yourself as well. But I just think of synchronicity as being the affirmation that everything is connected. Like, okay, well, there's evidence that everything's connected. And so in this wave spell, we get to remark on it. Like, oh, that's trippy that just happened. And whatever it is, I use the example of, I was just thinking of you and then you called. But that's so mundane because there's so many other ways for things to be synchronic. And I will try to talk about that here. I'll try to be like, oh, so here was the synchronicity. And also movement, evolution is a beautiful part of Red Earth. You know, mark where you are today, Red Magnetic Earth. And see where you are in 13 days. Some part of your life is going to have dramatically evolved. Not every part, but the part that, the part that matters, it'll matter to you because you'll see the evolution. An example would be if you're in a breakup and you're in some part of it that's a struggle. After 13 days, you're going to see a big shift. That's tectonic. You know, it's kind of an accumulated tectonic shift. And that's just like one of the best things I could wish for. It's not me speaking from personal material right now, but I think it's an example of something I may recall from a different Red Earth time. Or if you are looking for work, or you have in the past looked for work and it's been hard, all of a sudden at the end of the Red Earth wave spell, that will be solved for you. It's either something that you've been trying lately to break through, or it's something you've been trying for a long time to break through, and either you're really conscious you want to break through, or you haven't thought about it, but by the end of the wave spell, you're like, whoa, that thing finally broke through when I wasn't even thinking about it or watching it. Now, what I just described accounts for any possible outcome. Things you thought of and things you didn't, that's all of life. Or things you want to happen, or things you just realized after they happened you'd really wanted. Like, I'm not dialing into some big fortune telling here. I just know that you will identify movement either as it's happening or in its aftermath. And that's exciting. It's just exciting to stand here knowing it's inevitable that after this wave spell has passed, you will feel that you have evolved. And that's part of the magic. Jose Arguelles chose the word to evolve and navigate synchronicity in this wave spell for Red Earth, the tribe. And he is a magician. He's a blue monkey. And so, you know, I don't know where he came up with those terms. I literally factually don't know. And I also sort of like, and how did he do it? It's so magical because he's a magician. But I find that the evolve and synchronicity part are extraordinarily on point. And then navigate, you know, that I don't, that's not as much of a key for me, but maybe we'll look at that together this time so I can deepen my understanding of what was he inferring? What was he channeling? What was he receiving from the ascended Maya when he said that we do a lot of navigating in this time? So here we are, Red Earth, it begins. And as I said, it's seamless from Yellow Seed. It really is. It's magically seamless. That word that I keep droning, magic, because Yellow Seed and Red Earth are occult partners. I know this because my daughter is a Yellow Seed and her father is a Red Earth, and their relationship is very, very magical. It's a lot of unspoken, sparkly connection, and that I think they would be an example of how you kind of can cling to each other to weather the dullness and degradation of the spirit that that humanity has brought upon us all. So that when you have an occult relationship with someone, what you feel is what is way larger, deeper, or higher, and more magical than kind of the drudgery or the demand of normalcy in what we call society. So it is charmed. It is a charmed relationship. So perhaps you're a Yellow Seed, perhaps you're a Red Earth, and you can, you know, hear all this apply to you. Perhaps you can apply that to your occult experience, whether you are traveling through a day that is considered your occult tribe, or you have a relationship with someone who's your occult partner. It's very effervescent, and it can't necessarily be nailed down, so it can't always be realized and normalized, naturalized to the everyday life. I had a really intense, love affair, or I fell deeply in love 20 years ago, right when I was starting the calendar, with someone who was my occult partner, white resonant wind. I either talked about this last podcast or it was in one of the versions of the podcast that I destroyed, because I recorded like five versions last time. But white resonant wind and blue overtone storm are occult partners, and white wind and blue storm always are. And it was just like, again, living like the fairy tale part where you meet the prince and the princess and everything. It's just a higher vibration frequency. And of course, it was fraught with similar tragedy yet to be reconciled. But I always point to it because it gave me the flavor, the feeling of what that occult partner is to each of us, whether it's the day or the quality or the person. So we move into an occult relationship when we go through the yellow seed portal into red earth, and we're there. What else? The lunar moon, I think we'll have more to say about it when we anticipate next podcast being in the third week in the west. It's pretty much my fixation. Right now we're in the second week in the north, and there is a lot of air, sort of wind quality to being in the north, a place of spirit. So I think that there can be the inflection of spirit. I was going to say interference. Like, spirit doesn't enter our lives. We enter the spirit world in the north. I mean, therefore, it enters our lives. It's a breath. It's air, or it's spaciousness. It's the emptiness of an afterlife or a between life or a heavenly realm. And we access it always in the second week of the moon. We access it any time the color is white, but our 28-day moons are coded in the four directions as well. So here in the north, I think, again, we feel the influence of spirit. That's where I think my surprise came from. Just like, here's something that was sort of slow in the mail, COVID delays, but here is a surprise gift from spirit. And I like it, because I really am always begging spirit for something interesting to happen, because I am a storm and very drama driven. And it's rare, you know, as the storm, I spend a lot of time observing much more still presences than my own. That's the training, that's the counterbalance, and that's the demand on me, some kind of humility that everything can't be charging forward and spinning all the time. So life has been very still and stayed, and here you may have your version of something surprising happening, or that feels like a gift, or a sort of something implied by spirit that your life needs to address here in this northern week. And the lunar tone of this moon within the lunar year, that idea of being able to be really clear in some ways now, of like, this is helpful and this is not. And I'm going to use my recent experience as an example. This is a situation that I've had a lot of black and white thinking about. I had a devotional feeling of love for this person for a long time, one of the deepest loves I've had. And then they sort of disappeared from view in such a dramatic way that I felt really bereft. And it was then that I got two extra dogs, to come to the grand total of four dogs, which is too many dogs, actually, to be a normal, active human, but it is really amazing in terms of animal consciousness. But I had to replace this person with dogs in order to, you know, resurrect or stabilize my need for connection. And so their reappearance in my life now, in the lunar moon of the lunar year, of a blue storm year, and they're in quite a state of disarray, is challenging, that's the word for the moon, right? For the tone, the identifying challenge. Well, if this is a challenge, and they are certainly challenged in their lifestyle and their karma and their experience, and I'm witnessing. But given that I'm being offered the choice to engage and assist or assuage or more, way more, I'm given the choice to go all in, I find that the lunar tone is really helpful. Identifying the challenge. I wonder if you can use that in your own life. Like, okay, things are still hectic. Some of us have new hectic storm things arising. Otherwise, we're just maintaining the hectic nature of a depressed, you know, financially depressed or emotionally, psychologically depressed time. It is cool to have this assessment muscle in place, a kind of analytical muscle of like, well, this is challenging and this isn't. And I am actually really aware in the lunar tone, like I don't want more challenge. I'll accept a certain amount of, well, I'm not sounding like I'm avoiding challenge. We're all going to be looking at challenge the whole year, and we're going to be meeting the challenge, not just in this particular tone lunar, but in electric and self-existing and overtone and rhythmic and resonant, etc., all the way to the planetary tone. The only time the challenge releases in my, you know, abbreviated experience is in the spectral tone. So we identify a challenge that arises in the magnetic tone, and we identify it in the second of 13, but all the way to the peak when we really meet our challenge in the planetary tone by launching over it or fully having integrated it. That's the whole duration we're going to be faced with whatever the challenge is. But right now we're identifying it. And so when I say, like, I don't want more challenge, I think I am perhaps just saying, like, I know the thing that I don't need to learn again because I learned it other years, other wave spells. Like, I'm identifying the challenge that is the correct challenge for me to grow from right now. And it isn't the same old bullshit. You know? Like, if we know something's the same old bullshit, that means that we, I think, have grappled with it and can name it, and knowledge is power. So it's an interesting time in this lunar moon, which is an encapsulation of the lunar year, so everything is amplified, to be able to say or see, like, oh, that's interesting. Here is something I haven't thought of in a while or ever that is, it's unknown and it's difficult, or it's unknown and it demands my attention. That's a challenge that's for now, for this wave spell of 13 moons, this wave spell of 13 years. Let me give you an example. So I am referring to an ex-boyfriend who is an extreme alcoholic, extreme prison, you know, a prison-bound alcoholic, meaning has been to prison for alcoholic behavior. And I don't find active alcoholism interesting at all. It's not a challenge that I want to grow to meet. I have grown to meet it, and I feel like I've evolved past hanging out with active alcoholics and I've done it for years and years, so it seems like I'm good. But I am interested in the challenge of how you deal with ex-partners that you still care about deeply and want to be present with. And I'm also interested in the challenge of how do you meet someone who's self-destructing and not join the parade or try actually to stop it? You know, what is the true way to be supportive? That's a challenge that's up for me that I'm interested in. How to detach with love. A lot of other people already know that that's something we all need to learn, and I am more in the fulcrum of that learning. And so it's rich. It's rich right now. What I meant when I sort of started this leg of this topic is just like, so we're identifying the challenge. That's kind of fascinating to my brain. Like, oh, okay. It's not challenging to save someone who's self-destructing. I've met that challenge or tried that challenge in the past, that's not going to strengthen me or help me grow. But, you know, how do I observe and love without trying to save or over engage? That's interesting to me. My brain goes, oh, well, that's like something I would really like to learn. So the challenge goes from being a problem, a hardship, to an invitation to engage with a learning process. I can tell that the way I'm talking in this podcast is completely seated in the red earth mindset. So I refer back to wanting to evolve, facing synchronicity, meaning the channels connect. I didn't anticipate seeing this ex-partner maybe ever again. And to have the presence be resurrected, not by my choice, you know, that's a shift to meet. And it's an evolution already. It's a synchronicity to me because our channels were not in sync and now they are. And I don't know for how long or how far, but I'm not able to deny that. And to me, that is personal growth because it isn't black and white. So even though we're in the lunar tone of a lunar year, which is about sort of separating things to yin yang, light, dark, you know, separate piles, I am already being drawn to be like, well, I had black and white thinking about this relationship because we weren't in contact. So it was easy to categorize it as not active. There was no gray matter. It was very simply described. And then now, and maybe only for this podcast, you know, this is a person that could self-destruct or disappear at any minute. But in the meantime, I'm just fascinated by how I have to get out of my comfort zone of having everything be delineated. And that a challenge for me and many of us is that we get in ruts of wanting everything delineated. When I traveled pretty recently, I was ecstatic because every day I didn't know what was going to happen actually. Like, I never know what's going to happen within my daily routine when I'm home, but I was on the road and I just didn't know what I would happen on next. And that's how things were structured or unstructured. And it was so freeing. I never wanted to come back. And then I came back and I had to, you know, dumb it down, simplify, do the same things, routines, because that's what I came back to. And yet I found comfort in that as well. So to me, that's another lunar polarity teaching, is that we can find bliss in the shadow and the light. It is hard to transition between, and that's allowed and, you know, practically invoked in the lunar time. We're in a lunar year, so I would expect that to continue. We create integration and synthesis between shadow and light through our wave spell journey, but here at the outset of a 13-year journey or a 13-moon journey, it is all pretty striated, but we can see that we love both. I think that's a beautiful emphasis, and that we love challenge. You know, like, I was given a gift of a challenge that at least my heart is in. You know, I'm not speaking specifically of him or the relationship, but it's such a surprise that my heart gets so engaged by something unplanned, unforetold, exciting, and not harmful. You know, there's a lot of that happens around us. We're like, oh, I didn't expect that, and it hurts. But to have unexpected things that don't hurt is almost my favorite way to exist. And I hope that any of this that I'm referring to as part of my storytelling today does resonate for you. That's why we call it Resonant Truth on the website. My aim is to share some kind of truth that we are experiencing collectively. I hope that's the case. So moving forward, let's see. Challenge of this wave spell, this lunar, that's a good thing to remark on. Thursday is lunar day, lunar moon, lunar year. That's only going to happen one more time after white lunar mirror tomorrow. So pay attention to that. I'll try to put something up on Instagram for the six of you to see. And then And then we'll have an electric day that's also a storm day. So it's a storm day within a storm year on Friday. And the Venals change, and that will be referenced on Instagram, if not here right now. And then it'll be a yellow sun day, yellow self-existing sun. So we actually here, we're at the last stages of the Dzogchen tribes. When we move through the 20 tribes, red earth, white mirror, blue storm, yellow sun, do create a kind of resolution, and are the final quartet of moving red, white, blue, yellow. So see if that smooths things over for you despite the storm occurrence coming. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in La Keshe.